My name is John Shields with ETR Associates. I'd like to identify some of my colleagues who worked on this project: Heather, Greg, Kieran, Kelly, and Andy. In our last presentation, we saw really a great example of a very large system built with federal funds. And here, my discussion is more about a system built locally here in San Francisco, from the ground up with very small amount of funding. But we believe we're doing some important work and wanted to share it with you. There's my disclosures. I have none. A little bit of background. Educational leaders and from policy and practice, you know, we recognize that addressing social, emotional, and health needs of students is essential to helping them learn and succeed in school. This is a school-based talk today. However, relatively little is known about the relationships between school-based health services provided by social workers, school nurses, counselors, and other staff like youth outreach workers or outreach coordinators, CBO staff that provide services in schools. We don't know the relationship between those kinds of services, the key mediators of academic achievement, and very little about the academic outcomes themselves. We don't know how these services affect the holy grail of outcomes when working in schools, and those are attendance, GPA, standardized test scores, graduation rates, college entry and retention. Now, different from the health industry outside of schools, where documentation is exhaustive and necessary, there hasn't been that same kind of documentation standard in school-based health services. Districts have their records, but a lot of it is just when the services are reimbursable, and there's a whole constellation of things that are not captured, that are outside of these records. So what we wanted to do is create something that was user-friendly and actually helped them do their jobs, because nurses and social workers in schools are used to doing documentation that are grant-driven, with these specific GPRA indicators and these number of services that must be provided. Timer only works when you start it, John. Okay. Because a lot of evaluation is grant-driven, there's a whole piece that's missing, okay? And it undermines us on our ability as evaluators to look at the full impact of these key personnel. Now, this is during a time where school-based health centers have become very, very popular in public school districts. Here in San Francisco, we have the Wellness Initiative, which is a group of five staff with a cadre of youth outreach workers in 16 high schools. Out of the 20 high schools here, serving a population of about 16,000 students. Now, the district, and we've been working with them as their lead evaluator for the past 20 years and 10 years under my attention, they needed an online system that met their needs as service providers, that met their QI goals, and that fulfilled their funders' expectations. Okay. Now, we had some shared values with, and we worked very intimately with the providers in this situation, so we had some shared values at the start of the process. The student data, the daily log, which is what we call this thing, must capture data at the individual student level. A lot of documentation systems work in the aggregate, and in this case, that's just not going to work. We had to do it to the individual student, be able to track that student's services over time. Has to be user-friendly, and the principle of logging services shall never take precedence over providing services. That was a message we got loud and clear from our social workers and school nurses, especially the school nurses, as you might expect. The system had to be easy and quick. With this being launched for a year and a little bit with our social workers and nurses pre-K through 12 in the San Francisco Public School District, we're coming to an average of about 15 to 25 minutes per day of use. Most of our users at the end of the day spend about 15 to 20 minutes. Other users do 5-minute chunks throughout the day. Now, the goal of this, you know, usually it's because we make these systems to respond to specific grants with these externally provided indicators that we must measure. We also wanted them to be able to document and monitor their services and referrals in a way that really enhanced services, made their ability to provide services more efficient, to coordinate care in a more efficient way. How was it built? We had a series of focus groups, exhaustive focus groups, with our school social workers and our school nurses. The most exciting focus groups I've ever had the fortune to attend. Really great discussions about what needed to be done and why are we doing this, and we really hammered it out. Of course, we had meetings with the administrative staff who require certain performance indicators and have to share them with their leadership and are established our established pool of funder required variables. Now, that's listed third for a reason. It's ground up here that we're doing, right? Okay, so we're guided by practitioners. We launched the first version in September 2011. Version 2 had 68 improvements, all through feedback through the website from our people in the field. The version 3 we're working on now, 28 improvements due this summer. We found a bunch of really energetic early adopters who were into this thing, and we brought them in to serve as train the trainers and be out there in the field. How do I log this? How do I log that? We're not the experts in that. They are. So we try to develop that community so they could share. And so they did beta testing and prior to launch. Now, I'm going to show you the thing in a bit. So conceptual and analytic models. I want to try to tell you what we're trying to pull off here conceptually and from a research perspective. Now, if we can put in place a daily log that has online access, it's secure, it's FERPA and HIPAA compliant, and put it in the hands of practitioners, we can really do great documentation of school-based services at the individual student level with great detail. If we can link the service utilization to the educational records, that is, the school's student information system, we're really getting something because we bring in all of their demographics and key educational covariates and variables that we want to look at. Are they ELL? Are they in special ed? Are they 504 kids, which means adjudicated youth here? What's their race, ethnicity, gender, sexual orientation, gender identity? All those good demographic variables. Now, we have to develop modules that assess the health behavior mediators and outcomes of these students, because our theory of change is that these services lead to improvements in health and well-being in students, which improve their connectivity to the school environment, which improves their attendance and their engagement with teachers and has a payoff, again, in these holy grail outcomes of GPA and attendance. Now, of course, all the GPA attendance and historical record data are right here in the database that we want to connect to for the proper identification of students. Our analytic pathway model, as I said, path A, there's a relationship between utilization and these potential mediators, health indicators, school connectivity indicators, safety, school-level variables, and these pathways to academic outcomes. Here's where we are today. We link up our daily log, measure school-based service utilization, and connect to the students to the student information system from the district for the purposes of identifying students and accurately tracking services. We keep the databases separate at this point as we continue to work out some FERPA HIPAA issues. We're working with the district to then connect those data, and we can do pretty cool analyses using propensity matching, which is not the subject of this particular presentation. Now, let's see the thing already. This is it. We want to go forward to the slide. I hope that you can see it. I had to take screenshots of screenshots because there are student names in here that I had to cover up with boxes, and then I had to take a screenshot of that so a nefarious person couldn't just remove the box and see my students' names. On this homepage, we alert users to new changes as we're building this plane in the air, and as we put the doors and a tail on, we inform them. The log has a calendar function over here. You'll see as services are entered, these things turn yellow and I can, or orange, and I can click on here. These colors were chosen by the school nurses, by the way. We have the log summary, student info, student support services, school-wide activities, student-focused meetings and group sessions. Let me go through them quickly. Okay, when I click on a student information page, it gives me their service history, parent-caregiver meeting on the 19th of October, anger replacement training, another parent-caregiver meeting. All of their services will be listed here. And their student information that comes in from SIS, their student HO number, which is their unique identifier, their name, their enrollment status, their address and phone number. Now, these are data that our practitioners need to be able to provide services. Shortly, this will be populated with more variables, such as the ones you see down here, special ed, foster youth, English, home language, English only. In San Francisco high schools, approaching 40% of our students are Chinese. That's not to mention other Asian cultures. So a lot of students have Mandarin or Cantonese at home and English in the school. Spanish as well, of course. Over here, you'll see this... Over here, you'll see this search box and these recently logged participants. That'll be important as we start logging services. But before we log services, let me show you that you can also go to a log summary page. And for any day that I click on here, I can see what services I provided and what the length of time was. Now, a big issue with nurses when we and social workers is when we roll this out was, John, does the end of my day have to add up to at least 8 hours of service? No, it doesn't. Again, there's a balance in our value system between logging and providing. And this does not have to be 8 hours a day. In this case, for this particular day, it was 5 hours and 30 minutes of services. Next slide. How am I doing on time here? Great. Okay, so this is our main direct student service page. And what we do is we have the date, and if I click on a date here, the date pops in. We have the student, and the way we get a student in there, is to run a search over here in the box. It pulls up all the kids. So I put Juan, for example, pulls up all the kids at my school that are named Juan. If I mouse over them, I get some information like their DOB, their sex, their race, what school, and their DOB. So if, I said DOB twice, if there are multiple Juans at my school, I can find the one that I'm looking for. I click on his name or her name, and they pop right into the name field over here. Now, if I'm a nurse and I did 15 Band-Aids, forgive me, nurses, during the day, short first aids, I could put all 15 kids in, put first aid, enter it, and not have to do it 15 individual times. Okay? They like that. So we have primary issues, physical health. This was the initial encounter for this issue. Secondary issues, I can add issues all day long if I want to. CMS category. Now, this is our funders required variable. They have to be logged in a certain way, right? Services. Was it first aid, non-acute first aid, not applicable? The duration is listed with every particular service. And I can list multiple services. And if I put those 15 kids in, gave them all a Band-Aid, but want to break out one kid because I gave them a referral, I can separate that kid from the record. The Band-Aid comes with him, and then I can add additional referrals or enroll them in a group, etc. Now, one of the cool things is that we have a ton of categories, and these are all the things that the nurses must document in the focus groups. They said these are the categories. This comes from them. It happens to match really nicely with our funders' requirements, but a lot of that matching happens on the back end, outside of the view, as you were suggesting earlier. They need to call it what they need to call it, and that's a very, very important issue. Also, those were the presenting issues here, the services. But this only captures really a small amount of what they do, but it's sort of traditional social work and nursing. Okay? So I can add those things. And they said that's not enough. We want school-wide activities. We want student-focused meetings. Now, school-wide activities, and I'll go through these quickly, but look at some of them. There are things that we don't want to measure at the individual student level, like CPS contacts. Condom distribution, we don't give out condoms and write down the students' names. Program activities or grant management pieces that they do. I have to go to the tobacco prevention meeting. I am because I wear the tobacco prevention coordinator hat also at my school and the alcohol prevention hat as the school nurse. School-wide crisis intervention. And anytime I click on one of these things, a different small form pops up. Teacher staff consultation, for example, could be focused on all these kinds of different things. Now, these services are not associated with particular students at this point. School-wide crisis intervention, disaster, school death, school violence, presentations on all of the subjects. Now, a lot of these things you'll recognize from some of our grant-funded activities in the violence prevention and HIV prevention from CDC. But it's easier to create a holistic system that has the grant stuff in it and can change rather than these grant-driven things that after the grant dies, it dies. Okay. Meeting supervision and workshop, everything with conferences from a principal to meeting with the CBO and try to get them to bring in services. Program activities could be a wide variety of stuff. With 6 minutes left, I will show you that the student-focused meetings, now we go back to associating these meetings with particular kids. Now, those of you who work in schools, the IEP is a well-recognized acronym, as is the SST, the SART, which is an attendance intervention piece here, student assistance program, student success teams. You can now log every kid that was part of that, those meetings. Now, for groups, what you do is you click in, you set up a group. A lot of our nurses and social workers especially run groups for kids, anger management, conflict mediation, domestic violence groups, grief and loss groups for kids who have a parent with a terminal illness, a variety of groups. You set up the group, you click in the kids' names, and that group is now made. So when I record a service, the student is there, and we presume that they attend, and you unclick to show that they weren't there. Now, one nice feature, speaking of data quality, to the gentleman who asked about data quality, we have this feature called the cleanup link, and any incomplete record appears in your cleanup section. So as you go along, the phone rings, you don't get a chance to finish a record, you shut down this confidential database, but it saves it and says, look, I'll put them in here, so I have two records I need to clean up. It's given them a really nice way of cleaning up quickly and making sure things are accurate. Now, once we launched this thing, we got anywhere from 150 to 350 services recorded each day. Those are weekends, by the way. Although, we noticed on the 16th of whatever month that is, that some nurses did their stuff on Saturday, which is great. They can actually securely link in from the Starbucks and document their services if they want with their online account. You don't want to leave those things open, and by the way, it times out after about 15 minutes. So far, we've been able to capture a lot of descriptive information about what services are being provided, and of course, we got a lot of buy-in, we got a lot of data reflecting this back to the nurses, both in the log and in presentations, and in presentations to the school board, is really been meaningful. The school board here in the locally, there's this Public Education Enrichment Fund, which was approved by the voters, many, many millions of dollars into the public school system, and the voters want accountability. What happened with these dollars? Now, we as researchers say, what happened with these dollars and services, and what was their impact? But right now, the voters are really focused on what was done with this money, and what was the impact. So we're working there. We're able to show them specifically, looking at zip code, looking at superintendent zone, looking at different parts of the city, what's happening in terms of our services. What percentage of African-American students living in the Bayview are currently enrolled in some sort of wellness program at school? Our superintendent wants to know that. And the nurses love this too, because it shows them where they're spending their time, how many meetings they go to, and how many hours they spend in these meetings, so they can finally have a tool to tell their principals, here's what I do, Mr. Principal, Miss Principal. And so it's been very effective. Let me go to the last slide. We are interested in recruiting folks who want to look at this thing, using fake data, of course. And so please do not hesitate to contact us. We think that the future of this system and its ability to link to the student information system of the district, pull in all that great information, have the health mediators is really a comprehensive way of measuring and evaluating school health programs. And I thank you for your kind attention. We have about a minute and a half for questions, if there are any questions. Sir?
You mentioned confidentiality and other kinds of issues like that for resolving. I'm interested in saying, can you give us some ideas on how you're going about resolving FERPA requirements and other
Sure. We have the fortunate position at ETR, a nonprofit organization, to have a long relationship with the school district. In our contract, we serve as an agent of the district, so we have full access. This is actually housed on our server. We have worked with the legal department of the district and the various funders, the Department of Public Health, the Department of Children, Youth, and Their Families, and the San Francisco Unified School District's legal departments to really craft our contract and our confidentiality agreements in such a way that put a lot of the onus on us and take a lot of the weight off of them, and we found that relationship to be satisfactory. It's different than legal issues when an outside party is trying to sell or build a system for an entity. Contractually, we are indistinguishable from the district, even though we are a nonprofit and separate private company. So we have, that's a very, very fortunate position to be in, I have to tell you. We applied recently for some foundation funds to hire a national expert on FERPA HIPAA to help us develop our system, because it has been an issue, especially with improving case coordination, where two staff at the same school site can see the history of services provided by each person. That improves care coordination. It also brings up some privacy issues. Okay, so we're working on that kind of thing. Sir. That sounds great. Thank you. You know, one issue we have here in California is the issue of minor consent, where a social worker or a nurse can provide services to a student without parent knowledge or consent, where it's clinically appropriate and called for. You can think of abuse situations and other situations that call for that. That's been a very difficult issue for us to tackle, one that we continue to look forward to wrestling with. I do not want to go into our last presenter's time. So thank you for your attention and your thoughtful questions.